Good afternoon and welcome everybody to CMC Radio. I'm your host, Rob May, and excited to say that joining me again today is Amity Buxton of the Straight Spouse Network. Amity, how you doing today?
Pretty good. And you?
Great. I'm doing very well, thank you. So just to catch everybody up with what we've been doing, we're in the middle of a 12-part series right now with Amity. And, she's been discussing the various ways that this incredible organization, the Straight Spouse Network, has been helping people through some truly extraordinary circumstances, that affect people on so many levels, and there's so many different variables that go into it. But before we get ahead of ourselves here, Amity, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and try to catch everybody up with, your background and how you got to be where you are today.
Okay. Well, I grew up in Boston, outside of Boston, and part of that whole group of descendants of all those people that fought the British in Lexington and the Minutemen. And then it gave me quite a rebellious spirit, look for openings. And then I lived outside of Manhattan and went to college at Connecticut College for Women, where I met my first black person, and I was fascinated. Where have I been all these years? And I met my first Jewish person. Where have I been all these years? Then I went to Teachers College Columbia and got my credential and my master's and went out to Detroit, where I was teaching kids of the owners of the automobile companies and the workers. And it was really wonderful. And I arrived on Labor Day, and there were big speeches for unions, and I thought, where have I been all my life? So from then on, every time there was some kind of movement toward bringing freedom to more people, I was there.
Well, and I mean, obviously, your background of moving around a lot, that definitely gave you a lot of different insight into how different cultures and views really play into each other, right?
Interesting. Yes, you're right.
And so, with getting into the Straight Spouse Network, now, obviously, you went through something kind of not really that everybody else goes through. It's a very extraordinary, very unique experience. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that and how it really affected
you? Okay. Well, the person I married in 1958 had a wonderful life, a wonderful little house. We built, did things together. We had two kids and so forth. And then all of a sudden he started moving away and emotionally, and I thought, what is going on? And so 24 years after we married, he moved out, and I couldn't figure it out. And a year later he said, well, I'm really gay, and I jilted my gay lover to marry you. I thought, good heavens. So that was kind of scary. So he put me in touch with some support groups of peers, and the head of one of them was in touch with other therapists across the country who also had straight spouses of gay and bisexual mates. At that point, it was just all they knew about was women whose white husbands had come out. So I thought, I should put their stories together. So I did. By then I had been in touch with about 450 people. But I put together, I chose a range of cultures and ages and stories together to write The Other Side of the Closet. And what I did was I interviewed them, I analyzed what they said to see what the major issues were and how they got through it, what was common to them all. And then I did research to back up those hunches, and published The Other Side of the Closet in 91.
So that was in 91.
Then, one of the people I interviewed had a task force out of an organization called PFLAG. That's Parents, Families, and Friends of Lesbians and Gays. And she had a little task force for straight spouses. And she, as when the book was published, 91, she said, hey, Amity, why don't you take it over? And having done so much work with a network kind of organization, not hierarchical, but a network of people all working together as a team, I'd created the Straight Spouse Network, and it was put together officially in 92.
Okay, and now since 1992, how have you guys reached out to people or helped people in this situation?
Okay. Oh, we have a website. We have email on lists. I did a lot of PR in the 90s with Oprah and Phil Donahue and so forth, and Dear Abby always talks about us. But the work that we do, the core work, is peer support of peers for spouses and couples dealing with this, because we work with couples who are trying to stay together, too, trying to make the most of it. And so we do peer support. And in addition, we do what I think is terribly important, research-based facts, so that everybody will understand what's involved and not just move forward on emotions and hearsay and prejudices.
Absolutely. And I know that over the course of this series, we've really stressed the point that when you come to these peer group sessions, it's not about bashing gays or lesbians.
Mm-hmm. You can bash their behavior, but don't blame it on their sexual orientation or their gender identity if they happen to be transgender.
Right, absolutely. And so in terms of what people ask right out of the gate when this first happens to them, what are you used to fielding as far as questions go?
What about me? Can it work? Why did this happen? What can I do now? I got this call from somebody who had been suicidal and she had, was working through it, but she, you know, what do we do? How do we do? How do I handle it?
Right.
What's next?
And so what's your response?
My first is take care of yourself. Focus on yourself. Make sure you're in good health. Just gradually sort of face up to what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And what can you do about it? But try to find another spouse. Here's the name of someone in your area. Join one of the groups online. You're not alone, but go slowly. It takes time.
Right.
Go slowly. Don't hurry. It's not. You can do it.
And what about when people they try to get back together with that person?
Mm-hmm.
What are the statistics as far as that goes?
Well, about a third of them, rough estimate, about a third of them, they break up right away because the gay or lesbian or bisexual or transgender just has already kind of started a quiet little life on the side, and they just want to go
sure.
off that way. Another third try to make it work, and we help them talk to each other and be honest and work it through, but they realize after a couple of years it won't work. Another third really try to make it work out, and that takes a lot of honest communication, listening to each other, mutual compromise, mutual respect, a lot of that. And about a half of those, meaning a sixth of the total, still stay married. And there are a couple of good online groups of those folks just trying to make it work. And they, plus one of the ways they do is, besides online groups, they have face-to-face gatherings. They all get together, and the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender person, and the straight—they all they mix and they mingle and they see what someone else did. Oh, I'll try that.
Right, and since the group, the organization started in the early 90s, I mean, you guys have actually expanded globally.
Oh yeah, well, we were kind of global in the beginning. There already was a group in England and one in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
But we're expanded much more globally. We've had a couple of inquiries lately from China. We've already had somebody from India. So it's moving. I wish there were more people that knew about us, because some societies are still so anti-gay that these
right.
marriages do happen.
Absolutely, sure. And, I mean, really, with the way that things have been going, I mean, obviously we have the major legal changes in the U.S. now, and, you know, obviously with pop culture, you know, with Caitlyn Jenner and
mm-hmm.
that whole thing happening in the media, I mean, what would you say you expect in the next few years for really the acceptance or anything of that nature when it comes to, you know, transgender, gay or lesbian lifestyles? I mean, do you see people becoming more accepting of it?
I don't know. Just the fact that they can marry each other doesn't mean that conservative pockets in religious communities or the South or wherever there are conservative ways of thinking, that's
right.
not going to change the anti-gay attitudes. And one of the ways a gay or lesbian or bisexual or transgender person hides who he is or she is from everybody else is to marry an opposite gender person. So I don't know. I just don't know if we can suddenly, we can just erase the notion that gays and lesbians are sick and they're immoral or they need to be processed and medicated and all that. Once, if we can get rid of that, then there'll be no more straight spouses. But until that happens, which I don't know, I'd say another generation, we're
yeah.
going to have straight
yeah.
spouses, and the Straight
right.
Spouse Network will be there to help them.
Sure. And that's a great thing to have. I mean, obviously, you guys have been doing something right for the last, close to, it'll be 25 plus years now, right?
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Right. Yeah. So what we've been discussing over the course of the last few episodes has been the coping stages.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
You know, why don't you just briefly take us through some of the stages that we've discussed in terms of, you know, what it is that they have to go through to get to the
mm-hmm.
next step, which you're going to be discussing.
Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing is, what was wrong with me sexually that he or she would turn somewhere else?
Uh-huh.
So that whole, you know, what about me? What's wrong with my sexuality? And some people go berserk. They feel sexually starved, and they just go mad, or they just say, well, I guess I'm a failure. Then the second immediate issue is, well, what about the marriage? You know, can we work it out? How can I possibly work it out if he's out there in gay bars, or if she's out there and has a best friend that she's clearly in love with. So the marriage question, and then the kids. There's always an issue, and it continues to be, because even though you're hurt as a spouse, you are still a co-parent of the children with your former or present husband who's not straight.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to focus on parenting that's loving and caring and that sort of thing. And that's hard to do when you hurt as a spouse. It's easier to, you know, blame and say bad things about your
sure.
your gay husband. So those three things, sexuality, the marriage, and kids, are the first issues that hit a straight spouse in the face. The other next three are the more deep ones, and that is, well, who am I? Basically, you know, how did I get into this mess? I've been living someone else's lie. Who am I? What are my values? So you have a crisis of identity. You also, your moral compass has been shattered because you've been living someone else's lie without knowing it, and you were, but your judgment, your trust of this other person has been betrayed. And then the third of these deeper issues is your belief system. What gives meaning to your life? What gives purpose to your life? I don't mean a religious thing, but what makes you get up in the morning? That sort of thing. So those six issues are there all the time, and coping with them goes from the initial trauma to little by little facing the reality of what really is the truth and who you really are, and digging deeper to find out who you really are, and then accepting that and building up your own moral compass again. And you can't rebuild all this. It's a configuration process, because there are some parts in the past you don't want.
Mm-hmm.
You throw them out.
Sure.
You reconfigure. It's a chance to restyle yourself, like making a new statue of yourself.
Sure, yeah. And you find newer things about yourself that you didn't know you probably had inside
exactly.
of you at that point.
Exactly.
And for yourself, for your own experience now, are all of these different stages that you just mentioned, or is everything to a T pretty much what you went through?
I went through these things. Everyone else goes through these things in some order, pretty much that
sure.
order. And it's the reconfiguration thing that's really, really exciting. Do I have time to read something from one of my books?
Absolutely, sure.
Okay. This is the identity thing. And I may have read it earlier, but it's kind of interesting. It's an Asian wife, and She was very, very, very depressed, and she took off her wedding ring, and she said, oh, now I'll be free of Jack and available to meet someone else. When he saw my bare finger, Jack said, you're trying to punish me. No, I did it for myself. I love you, but I don't want my husband to be gay. Jack, I'm sure, was thinking, dear Ling, she has said that for 8 years. Eventually, she'll accept my double life. A month later, I said, you go your way, I'll go mine in the house. We'll eat with the children, but have separate rooms. That was a month ago. When I think of moving out altogether, the loneliness frightens me. When you're young, it's easy. In your 40s and after 20 years of marriage, it's scary. If eventually we're going to separate, why struggle to escape the suffering now? God will give me strength to act. 2 years after this story was told, Jack was diagnosed HIV positive. Though Ling was angry about his promiscuity, she didn't want to abandon the father of her children. She began taking classes toward an advanced degree and took a part-time job. The following year, Jack became infected with AIDS. Ling stopped her coursework to take a full-time job and care for him. He prayed that they each would attain inner peace. 2 years later, Jack and Ling had reached a spiritual reunion as he died at home, the family around him.
Wow.
That's transfiguration. Transformation, I mean.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's, and I mean, on her part, too, that's a lot of selflessness there.
Well, yeah, and that's what you get to. You get to. You know who you are, you know your values, and you can do what you want to do. The moral compass thing takes a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do we have time for me to read something there about that?
Sure, of course, absolutely.
This is the wife of an Hispanic, and Mexico is a place where there's lots of homophobia.
Mm-hmm.
And but they were American. I mean, she was Anglo and he was Hispanic.
Mm-hmm.
Her birth, this is talking toward the end. They tried to stay together. But no, she didn't like making all the decisions. She sold the house and so forth. And he still was trying to, she was trying to keep it together. She gave him anniversary presents and something. She decided, oh boy, if this marriage is going to work, I guess it'll have to be sexless. Oh dear. So then she said, she told her white husband, Miguel, then her birthday came. And she took the kids away to stay with relatives and did some movies and a video machine to binge on something other than alcohol. The next day, Miguel and I went out to lunch and walked among the cherry trees. Before dinner, I said, please don't drink too much. I'm too tired to drive, having watched movies so late last night. Miguel drank at dinner. Then at a show bar we went afterwards, he slept all the way home while I drove. When we arrived home, he said, are you disappointed? Well, yes, I know money's tight and I appreciate spending the day and evening out, but I didn't get a present or a card from you. Birthdays are important to me, you know that. Suddenly he screamed, what more do you want from me? I didn't have time to buy you a card. I didn't even have time to go to the bathroom all week. He stormed out of the house. I was furious. First time I remember being angry with him. The next morning, Miguel came home. Sorry, Caitlin, was all he said. A few nights later, while I was resting on my bed listening to classical music, it suddenly became clear. Why am I giving up my whole life for this marriage? What do I get out of it? Give me crumbs and I'll stick around. I can't even have sex with anyone else. I can't be an unfaithful wife. And then my thoughts switched. Wait, Miguel's the one who's been unfaithful. I don't even have a marriage you morally agree with, Caitlin. It's not based on faith and trust. Your image of right and wrong is screwed up. What Miguel is doing wrong is wrong. Therefore, this marriage can't last. So finally, after 2.5 years, she had to let go. And she did.
Mm-hmm. Now, is the transformation process, is this something that is truly difficult for individuals? Is it more of the just accepting the situation first, obviously, and then going
into
the...
Well, it isn't. It's a coping process.
Okay.
So you face the reality,
mm-hmm.
then you accept it, as Ling and Caitlin did.
Right.
and then you restart reconfiguring who you are and what you believe in and what your moral compass is,
mm-hmm.
and then you put it into action, and that's a transformed life.
And so what are some of the things that people can do to simplify this process?
Well, they can't simplify it at all, but just as soon as they can, face the reality. It takes a lot of courage, as I show, these two stories show. Face the reality of now.
Right.
What is it we're dealing with? What do you think about it?
And now this was from, I'm sorry, this was from the other side of the closet, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
And
just for our listeners to know, this book is available on Amazon.com.
Mm-hmm.
And as well as Unseen Unheard.
Right, and it's it gets available through bookstores too.
Mm-hmm. No, like Barnes and Nobles and.
Yeah, and Unseen Unheard: Straight Spouses from Trauma to Transformation.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of these full stories from which I just read. Unseen,
sure.
Unheard has snippets of what they have written or said along that coping way. And when we get toward the end, I'll read the one about Carlos, who got transformed, and what his life looks like now. But so it's a coping process, and it's very hard. It takes 3 years at least, sometimes six. Because you marry somebody and you build a life together, and suddenly you realize that part of it was a farce. And they weren't trying to hurt us.
Right.
Our husbands and wives weren't trying to hurt us. They were trying to protect themselves. But we are hurt. Very hurt.
Absolutely. And you throw into the mix, you know, children, and I know from personal experience that doesn't simplify anything, and you know there's a lot of explaining, and you know it's just a tremendous experience for people to endure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and hopefully our children, because one of the things we try to do with the Straight Spouse Network is to help the straight and gay parents. Gay, lesbian,
mm-hmm.
bisexual, or transgender parent work together as co-parents, and you know, just say this is, you know, you're still your same dad, still your same mom, and nothing is wrong with us, and so forth. And it's hard to do that if you're in a conservative religious community or a conservative town, and sometimes you have to keep it secret, but keep it private. We try to make a distinction with kids if they don't want everyone else to know. This is a private matter. If you say the word secret, that's a kind of a poisonous word, but this is a private matter for us.
And so, Amity, when it comes to some of the most important things that you think people should know about at the time of crisis, at the time of this is what's going on, and you're the Straight Spouse Network, what are you telling people that they need to know or need to do to really get through it at that first instant?
How are you? Are you taking care of yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Are you eating? Are you sleeping? Do you have a friend you can talk to?
Mm-hmm.
This is indeed, you know, this... You can do it. It's going to take time, but you're fine.
Sure. And I just want to let people know, too, that if they want to find out more, obviously to go to straightspouse.org. It's an amazing website that definitely you can get a lot of different information from, and all of the resources are right there. And the Straight Spouse Network, I want people to know, too, is non-for-profit. And there are ways to donate to help the organization stay, on track with everything that they need to, right?
Yeah, and because although it's volunteers, basically volunteers
mm-hmm.
do the work, we do need a central office to handle the budget, to handle PR, to handle coordination of all the support services so that the support leaders can learn from one another. And if somebody discovers an answer to one of the questions you asked about what really helps, somebody has found this brilliant way to help spouses, then we can get it out to all the support leaders and facilitators around the world.
Perfect. And I want to ask, because you did bring up HIV earlier, and mm-hmm. I am curious, as I'm surfing the site a little bit here, and I do see a section on medical questions. So mm-hmm. when it comes to STDs, you know, things of that nature, you know, how do you guys help people?
Right, how to
really
get tested right away. One of the first things we say is, have you been tested? For the wives, have you been tested?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we rely on their community health services to do what's needed.
Right. But, of course, there's a lot of different things beyond STDs that people are going to be facing, such as depression and anxiety, right?
Depression, absolutely. And mm-hmm. that's the biggest thing. And so we don't recommend any particular therapist. That's not
mm-hmm.
a good thing to do. But our support groups have spouses who have worked with local therapists and can say this guy in the city who's really, really good, and or there's this woman therapist. So it's peer-to-peer recommendations.
Right. Sure. Absolutely. And, Emmy, while we're coming down to the last couple of minutes here, did you want to share that other reading that you had?
Yeah. This is Carlos. He's still with his wife.
Mm-hmm.
They're both from Mexico originally. And they're monogamous and celibate and very mm-hmm. active in the community and all kinds of things. He described his transformation at a panel presentation given at a national conference in 2007. 7 years ago, he said, I would not have seen myself working as a volunteer or patronizing gay and lesbian events, traveling over 1,000 miles to participate in a discussion panel at a national gay and lesbian task force convention. 7 years ago, I would have not met many of the friends and acquaintances that now fill a great part of my life. 7 years ago, I would not have comprehended the struggles of mixed orientation couples, even if I'd known they existed. 7 years ago, I would not have the understanding I have of the gay and lesbian community as I do today. 7 years ago, I would have not have appreciated the value of diversity, all diversity. 7 years ago, I would not have pondered about writing this. 7 years ago, my wife of 30 years told me she was a lesbian. 7 years in the future, what will they bring?
Wow. And so, with Carlos now, this was a presentation that he gave?
Yes, at a national conference of the Gay and Lesbian Task Force, which works for equality for all minorities, not just gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. And he was there. And our pitch there is straight spouses are not just allies. We're family. We're married mm-hmm. to you guys. So we have to make it better for you.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, it's really incredible. To tell you the truth, before you and I started this series, I didn't obviously know much about the organization. And now it's incredible. I want to make sure that as many people find out about what you guys have been doing, as possible here, because obviously there's a lot of ways that you guys help, and there's probably a million questions that people in this situation have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing to hear of all the positive that you guys have done.
Thank you. Well, it is amazing, but it's because the people have done it. Yes, we
mm-hmm.
we prompted it, but they did it. They did
mm-hmm.
it. They're the ones that get transformed, and that's so exciting to see. When I look in my support group and I see these people that came in bursting into tears and reaching for the Kleenex, and now they're up there smiling and telling others how they did it.
Absolutely. Well, Amity, unfortunately, we are out of time for this episode.
Okay.
I do want to thank you for coming on again, and we will be back in 2 weeks with you.
Thank you.
So
I look forward to
it. From everyone here at CMC Radio. This is Rob May saying to check out the Straight Spouse Network at straightspouse.org. And we will see you soon. Amity, good night, and we will see you in 2 weeks.
Thanks very much, Rob. Bye-bye.